I'm Stephen Duncan.
Oh my God, Kevin, why are we recording so early?
I'm Kevin.
This is the Level 7 Podcast. Welcome to the Level 7 Podcast. Today, we're talking about Mass Effect movies.
And how Pikmin 3 has a release date.
And we're talking about Dragon Age 3. But first, Kevin, I think we kind of need to address why we keep having all these breaks.
I'm scared.
So, because one of the things that I'm pretty sure people noticed once you joined the show was we were on a pretty steady release schedule. And then out of nowhere, we're taking breaks like how it used to be. It's my fault.
Yeah, blame Steven.
Yeah. So my life went from pretty steady, pretty stable, pretty boring, to pretty busy and pretty catastrophically stuff's just going on and a lot of stuff that I have to take care of. And that's why we have to record at the crack of dawn this morning. Well, it's the crack of dawn for me.
It's the crack of dawn for me. I stayed up all night, so
well,
I only got a couple hours sleep.
Yeah, so even after we're actually recording this, hopefully pretty fast, because as soon as we're done with this, I have to get ready to go do another thing. And then as soon as I'm done with that, I have to drive over to somewhere else and take care of other stuff. So I'm just hopelessly busy at the time. So if you see any more stops or if you see any more breaks, it's just because life over here for Steven is getting pretty nuts.
Assume a meteor hit his house. That's the best thing.
Yeah, sure. Do that. If that's what makes you feel better, assume that, space junk just came right through my roof and nailed me right in the temple. So now that we kind of got that out the way, we can start with the real topics and the stuff that people actually care about. The next Ninja Gaiden is already being planned. Ninja Gaiden Z will be for the next gen, and it will be a third-person shooter. Do we care about it?
Well, they haven't confirmed that it's going to be a third-person shooter. It's just that's what a senior designer listing details, is that it's tuning for a third-person action shooter on next-gen consoles.
Well, it is supposed to be like a side story, so it would make sense to modify the gameplay a little bit, because it's not the main hero. It's not, what's the guy's name, Ryu?
Yeah, it's not this him. Is this Yaba? Is that his name?
I don't know what his name actually is.
Yaba.
Yeah, I don't have that good a memory. We'll call him Yaba. He's an enemy of Ryu, I guess, or something. So I understand if they were to try to mix up the gameplay. I don't know if it's going to work, but I understand the creative force behind it.
I like the art style. Like how it looks all animated.
That's exactly what I was about to say. That's what makes me care about the game. Now, am I excited for the game? Am I going to buy the game? That has, that remains to be seen. But that art style is really, really cool. And the fact that it's going to be next gen makes it even better.
Well, it means you have to wait a long time. I mean, that's at least a couple years before it'll even be out. So,
well, as I just said in the opener, I'm really busy, so I have no problem waiting, because it's not like I'm going to be able to play it right now. Anyways,
I guess.
I'm sorry, I had to get some frustration out. But,
I mean, what kind of weapons does a ninja have that he's going to throw? I mean, he's got shurikens, ninja stars. I mean, I got like the scrolls that they could throw. But I mean,
you've never heard of a ninja with guns?
No.
Come on,
because
that's
not a ninja.
That's the revolution, is that we're going to have ninjas with guns. That's what this game's going to be. It's going to be the ninja revolution.
Well, they're going to have the revolution without me. Pikmin 3 now has a release window. It will be coming out sometime around spring 2013. Is this one of the games that will make you care about the Wii U?
Not terribly. Now, I will say this. The Wii U will make me care more about Pikmin. I never really got into Pikmin when it was out for the GameCube. I was trying other games. I'm pretty sure you were the same way.
Yeah. We were talking about it out behind the scenes. I'm just not a big Pikmin fan. It's kind of lame. I don't know. It's just, you know, collecting stuff with Pikmin.
It is weird.
A fun game to me.
Well, okay, so the original Pikmin I never really picked up because it was time-based. You always had a time limit. And growing up, especially when that game came out, I hated time limits. The only time limits that I was okay with was Mario, and that's because they gave you 300 seconds to complete a stage you can get done in 30.
Yeah, this is not like a linear stage that you run through. This is like, you're being timed through this gigantic area, and you gotta, you know, collect all this stuff in the time limit.
Exactly.
And not only that, but the Pikmin just are, like, just stupid. They just, not only are the controls not gonna work for this, because you're pointing on the screen where you want to go, so that's gonna take more time to not, you know, to point where you want to go or to point where you want to shoot the Pikmin. So you're losing seconds and time just from that.
Well, here's the thing. Now, hold on a sec. Because Pikmin 2 got rid of the time limit. You think they're going to bring it back for Pikmin 3?
Well, from the videos that they have up here, they have time limits on them. So I'm assuming that the game will have some kind of time limits on it.
Well, see, that's what I get for just reading and not actually watching. Okay, the time limit thing kind of shies me away. I think when I get a Wii U, I'm going to be looking for something to use, you know, to play anyway. So I might take a look at it. I might pick it up. It kind of depends on what the finances are in my life at the time. You know, can't spend $60 on mess I don't care about.
Well, it's going to be kind of low on my list, so.
Right. The Wii U will have voice chat, but not in the way you were expecting. Instead of using the built-in mic on the gamepad, you will have to use third-party hardware. And the Pro gamepad doesn't have a jack for the headset. What's Nintendo doing?
Getting left behind, because both consoles, other than them, already have voice chat. So the next-gen ones are going to have what we can only assume is a, you know, more upgraded, integrated version of chatting, and Nintendo has just decided to add it, but has added it in such, I guess, an ass-handed backwards way that I don't even think most people will even bother to use it, because you're going to have to use half the gamepad basically in your pocket.
Yeah, I think in your pocket. That's too big to put in your pocket.
You're going to have a bigger pocket. You're going to have your mother stitch a bigger pocket in your pants for this.
Okay, so that's that revolution that Nintendo's trying, is so we get bigger pockets. What it is, and we were talking about this, it's a cash grab, because this third-party software is licensed. So for every headset that gets sold, Nintendo pockets money off of it, a certain percentage of the profits. And that's
they
why
they don't need to nickel and dime us any more than they already are. We already got to buy the gamepad. I guess some of them come together. If you want to buy, you know, the bundled stuff, you could get it all at one time. It's just a lot of extra stuff that.
Yeah, I'm not agreeing with it, but I understand the business point behind it. The reason I do not agree with it is because there is a built-in mic there. Just use that. This seems more like I care more about my bottom line than I do my customers, which is to me is a bad business model.
I can't think of a worse business model myself, other than making them put the microphone jack in your face. You know what I mean? That's about all. GameStop is now opening a kids' stores. Stores will have kid games and toys. Do you think this is a good idea for the company?
So the people that run companies must see some type of financial benefit in doing this. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it. So there must be some kind of upside. But on a more social level, one of the problems with the gaming industry are kids going into the store and getting games that they shouldn't be getting. And maybe this can start deterring people from doing that. Because instead of sending kids into regular GameStop, you can send them to, I guess, the kids' GameStops, where they won't be offering these M-rated games.
You see, I never thought about it like that. That could, that might work, but what about when kids, what, you know, the kids see their, either their older brothers or whatever playing Halo, kids are playing Halo, so they want to play Halo. I just don't know if this place will get the business.
Right.
Because it's just a KB Toys with games is all it is.
Yeah. I'm not saying that it is going to fix the issue. I'm saying that it maybe it's a step in the right direction. It is showing some sense of social conscience, because that's one of the big knocks on the gaming industry, is that socially there's no conscience. Like, just let these kids play games full of murder and blood and let them be raised up to be killers. And
hey, I jumped on plenty of Goombas in my day and it didn't make me a bad person.
Well, I jumped on those same Goombas and it made me a terrible person. So,
well, you're just going out and killing people in broad daylight. See, that's just the person. See, this is what I'm trying to get. It's not the game. It's going to be the person.
To be fair, I did sell my soul for certain services and goods. But I, like I said, I think it's financially, who knows what it's going to do. I don't necessarily see it being too big of a financial boom, but, you know, socially, I think it's a step in the right direction. I don't think it's going to fix it. I think we have to start talking to parents so we can fix it, but I do think we are moving in the right direction there. So that's the first four topics. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we have letters in our mailbag.
And we're going to actually read them.
For once, because all the other times we read the mailbag, we faked it. We'll be right back.
Fan of the show? Get regular updates on Facebook and Twitter at Level 7 Cast.
Hey, look, we're back. And this time, we're getting to the mailbag.
The mail is here.
Ooh.
I tried sounding happy. Did that work? Is that cool?
Sounded like you were on drugs. You've been watching Breaking Bad again, huh? You've been doing that blue meth? Is that what you've been doing?
Apparently, yes.
Okay.
So, just to kind of, you know, jump right in, here's our first letter. Hey guys, I have a question and an input. My question is, do you think that stealth games, or stealth in games, is a fad? I mean, there are a lot of games coming out trying to use stealth, and some failing, like the new Amazing Spider-Man and Transformers FOC, which had a level dedicated to stealth, it sucked. I feel like a lot of these games try stealth because it's becoming so popular. What do you think?
Are you not going to read the other part?
No, I was going to get to that because it's kind of a different subject. I don't think necessarily stealth is a fad. I think because we just had like Dishonored come out and it did it well. I don't necessarily think it, because a fad's something that's going to fade away. I don't think it's going to fade away.
It just depends on the game. I mean, how they do it. Some games do it really well, and some games don't. I mean,
right. Now, it may be a fad in the sense that these commercial games, these, you know, the games that you have to put out really quick, will use stealth, because that's the new hot thing. But I think as a core mechanic, I think that it will be around, and it will be around with quality for a while.
I mean, we've always had our Metal Gear Solids, so, you know, there's people that are trying to do it well.
Right, and I actually kind of feel bad that he played Amazing Spider-Man and whatever that Transformers game is.
Yeah, they've never just, those just don't sound like good game, period. So.
Right. Now I'll read more of the letter. In Legend of Dragoon, I never really played it. I played the demo a long time ago and it seemed cool, but I rarely play RPGs except Mario and Pokemon.
That sounds about right. I like Mario and Pokemon RPGs.
Yeah, so do I.
Right on, man.
Yeah. From Marshall Billings. P.S. Sorry, Steven, for spelling your name wrong. It's okay, Marshall. Don't worry. I only wish death upon your family and loved ones in the worst possible way. But...
at least he apologized.
Yeah, I know.
Most people just say, whatever.
Yeah, no, so it's gotten to a point where, like, when I talk to businesses online, I have to specifically say Steven with a V. I'm becoming, like, I've been scolded. So thank you, Marshall, for that letter.
Thank you very much.
So here is the second letter. Hello, Stephen and Kevin, and maybe Norman, if he would be reading this. I don't think he's going to be reading this, but he will listen to this. He's the behind-the-scenes guy, so he has to listen to all this to make sure we don't suck.
Yeah.
I'm still a little depressed about the fact that the podcast has not received the attention that it deserves, or at least the fan mail that it deserves. In any case, I'm writing once again to give you guys a chance to feel important. Thank you very much for...
this part also made me incredibly depressed.
It's okay. Someone's just trying to coddle our egos. That's yeah. Fine. I like my ego to be coddled and cuddled. This question that I pose is directed mostly to Steven. So I guess you're just going to have to sit this one out, Kevin. Go, like, get a brownie or something.
All
right. What is it that you find... interesting in the RPG genre? I myself am not an RPG Nazi that condemns the category to hell, but a good majority of the titles in the role-playing genre I find deathly boring. The only ones that I actually enjoy playing are Mario RPGs, Kingdom Hearts, sorry I can't help myself, Steven, and Mother 3. I'm curious as to why many role-playing fanatics enjoy heavy RPGs such as Final Fantasy and Dragon Quest.
Wait a second. Hold on. How is this question directed to you, and when, I play just as many RPGs, if not more, than you do?
Because not so many people know you, Kevin. You're too secluded. You have to open your heart up and let people know who you are as an RPG.
Well, hello. Fan. My name is Kevin, and I've played many games, so do not assume that I do not know about them.
Oh, I wouldn't take it too personally.
See, the only thing is... the Mario RPG, Kingdom Hearts, and Mother 3 are gigantic jumps in RPGs. I mean, those are three different very vastly kinds of RPGs. You've got Mario RPG, which is kind of casual. Kingdom Hearts, which is...
kind of sucky.
I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say a 3D move around, you know, you still got menus. And Mother 3 is like, that's like a hardcore RPG. That's it, like...
definitely
the classic. Final Fantasy, basically.
Yeah. To get to the question as to why I prefer RPGs as a genre, I like being engrossed in a game, and they are very much like interactive media for me. It's not like a book or a movie or a television show where you are a third person. You're just watching. An RPG, you are in the story. You are part of it. And then there's the intellectual side of like the combat and trying to overcome, you know, the weaknesses and figuring out the strengths. And there's just much more of a thought process that goes into the gameplay of an RPG for me. And to be intellectually stimulated in my interactive media is, that's just perfect for me. That's what I look for, especially when I play RPGs. Now, I will play stupid games too, but... by and large, that's why I prefer RPGs, is for the intellectual stimulation.
I like it when the Sephiroth, he comes on the screen and he uses the sword to cut down the people. I like that a lot.
Okay. Is that why you prefer RPGs, Kevin?
Yeah, I like the RPGs because they got the swords.
Well, I know it's directed at me, but since you're here, I guess, why do you prefer RPGs other than cutting the people with the Sephiroth sword all good like?
Because usually they've got, not all of them, they've, here of late, RPGs seem to get more of the, I'm here to save the day instead of delving into the characters. Like, if you look at Final Fantasy VI, you've got characters that are vastly different, act different, they have backstories.
They have fantastic music
that's,
to go with each
that's
one.
That's what I like about RPGs. Yeah, there are songs in Mario RPG that I'll never forget just because they're so catchy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the entire package for an RPG. I like the numbers where you see the big, you know, something about number, you know, just, you know, equipping characters, making the numbers bigger. That's just, that's, I like that. I don't know. But then there's, but it's not just that one aspect. It's all of the things wrapped together. You got a nice story, you got nice music, you got hopefully a boss that isn't too hokey.
Yeah. So, yeah. And usually, if you talk with us, whenever we say that RPG is a bad game, we usually point to the story. Like, hey, that story sucked. Because, I mean, a good story in an RPG can go a long way, and a bad one can end a game within 2 hours. And the letter actually continues. I'm still hoping that more listeners will do their duty by sending fan mail to the podcast inbox. But until that day comes, I will continue to send emails to hold you guys over. Keep up the great podcast. From Superstar Nuggets.
I really like that name, by the way.
So he emailed before you got on the show, Kevin, and we, Norm and I, completely approve of this name. It's fantastic. I hope he uses it in future business ventures.
Yeah, if that's not a dish at a restaurant, it better be the name of the restaurant.
So. Yeah, I know! We said the same thing! Yeah. I love it. And he puts a PS as well, and he says, in case anybody forgot how I was, he was the one that asked Norm and myself about our distaste for Kingdom Hearts. So the third one, I'll just kind of read it because I don't know if it's a joke or not. Hey guys, I want to join the podcast/website. I got this. Trust me. When can I audition? From Kyle Stevens.
We just thought this would be funny to include. So, because I'm guessing this guy's half joking.
I think he is as well. So let me get this out there. We're not looking for any auditions at the time.
Trust me, you don't want to be here.
No, you
Stevens, he's a whiplasher, man. He'll just make, he's always like, gotta be here on time or I'll whip you. So it's just.
Yeah, exactly. Kevin, you were 3 minutes late this morning. What'd I do?
I got lashes.
Exactly. So we're not looking for new people.
Send us your tape. I want to see it. I want to see what your audition tape looks like.
Okay, so you can send your audition tape, and Kevin will look at it, and he'll tell us about it.
Yeah, I'll judge you. On every show, for every audition tape we get, we'll have a new session where I'll just talk about it, and it'll be Kevin's audition hour.
There you go. So if anybody sends in an audition tape, we will have a segment where Kevin reviews it for you, for the fans.
Just for you, Kyle.
Just for him. Look at that. We didn't get a new co-host, but we got a new segment. Now we just need people to send their audition tapes in.
We'll be waiting. Yeah,
it'll be the best thing ever. If we get enough, we can get Norman up here. We can have our own little podcast X Factor.
There you go.
Yeah. Which one of us is going to be Brittany? Are you going to be Brittany?
Sure. Hit me, baby, one more time.
Yeah, exactly. Move them purty lips. So, that was our mailbag. You should do what Superstar Nugget says and send us more letters and converse with us more so we can get to know Kevin and get him out of that seclusion.
Yeah, I like games.
There you go. See, Kevin's starting to open up because we had people. Well, I talked to him. I guess no one else really did. If you do
question me about video games,
if you do want to get a hold of us, level7cast@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @level7cast. We're on Facebook and all kinds of stuff. And you know,
you can also write a bottle or write a note and put it in a bottle, and we'll look for it.
Okay, so. You'll be the one that gets it. I'm in the middle of no water anywhere.
Well, I mean, you just got to go over to California and look.
They gonna. Yeah, I'm going to drive all the way to the Pacific Ocean. And so, sure, send the message in the bottle. We'll look for it. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back.
Want to hear more? View the episode archives at level7podcast.com.
Welcome back to the Level 7 Podcast. We're going to go ahead and jump right in because, unfortunately, I have to run and go do stuff. The Mass Effect movie is moving forward, employing a screenwriter to pen the script. Why do we need a Mass Effect movie?
I don't know. I don't need a Mass Effect movie. Do you need a Mass Effect movie?
I do not need a Mass Effect movie. I guess we can get to the next topic. So there are, like, people that I know in real life that I was actually, that, you know play Mass Effect, and we're all trying to figure this out. Why is there a Mass Effect movie? Mass Effect already looks real enough. Like, the art style of Mass Effect's pretty realistic. It's not the cartoonish, or it's not the really the imaginary. It, for a science fiction game, it looks pretty realistic. Don't you agree?
I guess for as, just, as just realistic as a game can look.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Like, and, you know, at no point do I go, I wonder what this will look like on the big screen. Because to me,
if
it's...
they got Arnold Schwarzenegger to play the main character? It says, I'll be back in Mass Effect.
No. No. And I was going to give you time to sit there and think about what you just said, but we only have 2 minutes per topic, so I'm not going to do that. Mass Effect's already, like, cinematic. To me, it already reminds me of a movie.
I understand what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I think a movie should be an artistic depiction of something that it kind of takes a step away from where it's at. If it's already like a movie, don't make the movie. Unless it's
what if it's got a completely different storyline? And it deals with, you know, whatever point of the storyline that you think would be a good point to have in a movie.
If it dealt with something outside of the Shepard universe and it dealt with something kind of important, I would care a little bit more about it, but I wouldn't care enough about it to justify it.
All kinds of bad financial news in the gaming world. An investment rater lowered EA's rating, citing he doesn't think the company is competent. And Nintendo, on top of not hitting projected numbers, will be selling the Wii U at a loss. Is it too early to say that the sky is falling on the gaming world?
Yeah, I think it... Well, it's a question that I think we should ask because... For some reason, for the past, let's say, year, there's been talks of another big fallout, like what happened in 1983.
Well, haven't game sales been down almost every month?
Well, they're going to have to come down. I mean, the market got really big, like way bigger than what anybody imagined. You know, once you're at the top, there's only one place to go.
Yeah.
But it's not so much if you come down, it's how much you come down.
But why couldn't they sustain it? I mean, you might not be able to go up farther, but why couldn't they stay at the level they were at?
Because the peak that they got a lot of casual people. Then we're in a down cycle right now. We're at the last few years of a life cycle. There's going to be down numbers. I would worry more about the numbers if, like, a year or two into the next generation, then we have faltering numbers. Because that means we're not picking up where we left off.
I think the question is too broad, how you're saying, is it too early for the sky to fall in the gaming world? I think that is, but it's for certain companies like EA. EA is they've got three big games now that have came out that... You know, Star Wars alone, the MMO, not shaping up to be a multi-million dollar pull-in, that just probably had to have hurt the company.
I would imagine that it would hurt the company. Actually, of the two, the fact that Nintendo is selling Wii U at a loss, that's a big thing for me because Nintendo's big thing used to be, well, we're not going to sell anything at a loss. We're going to make a profit on everything that we sold.
Right.
Like, that was the big draw financially for the GameCube when it came out was, oh, we're making money off of every single GameCube we're selling. But now they're going to the other business model where they're giving away the shavers to sell the blades.
You got to think they got to be confident about that, you know, to try to do that. So
yeah, and I have faith in them so far, but I do want to see how it's going to work out. Let's give it about a year and see where they're at. New details have emerged for Dragon Age 3. It is predicted to be the biggest game in the series and have many customizable features. Are you excited?
I've never liked Dragon Age. It's just weird to me. I don't know. You like it and I don't, so...
I do, and the only reason I'm really excited for the game is that I get to see the kind of the end of the story. I want to see what they do with the gameplay, because that's been Dragon Age's thing. The first game had kind of a really passive approach to gameplay. You give your orders to everybody, and they go and do it. The second game was a button masher, so
a lot of people had problems with it not being like Dragon Age 1, saying Dragon Age 2 was just, you know, they might as well stop because they already destroyed the game.
I don't think that. I'm okay with trying something new gameplay-wise. I'm not saying what they did was correct, but trying something new is what I applaud them for. I want to see what they do more with the combat than with anything else. Because, like, when they're talking, you know, they're giving us, to me, they're giving us small details that we don't really care about. Oh, it's going to be the biggest game in the series. Well, no duh. That's what I expect. It's the third game. You should have better awareness of your technology. You should get the most out of it.
Would it bother you if they started pushing the relationship side of it more? Or would it?
I don't know if it would bug me. With the past two Dragon Ages, I actually skipped over the relationship thing because it's kind of convoluted. You kind of need a guide to do it. But the good thing is it's completely optional.
Which does it give you any benefit to the game?
I guess seeing softcore porn.
I mean, like, do you find an item in her cooter or something? I mean,
you get like I think you get items and you get stat boosts and stuff like that. But it wasn't enough that I wanted to go ahead and go do it. There is a benefit to becoming friends with everybody, but the actual relationship part I really dismissed. I really didn't mess with it. It didn't seem the rewards didn't justify the amount of stuff that you had to go do.
Well.
So, I mean, I don't know. I might bed a woman up or bed a dude up. I don't know, depending on
which gives you the better bonuses, yeah.
Yeah. I got no problem, you know, forking over my manhood for stat bonuses.
Nice.
Yeah, exactly. So
there you go, people. Send in the money.
Send in the money, and that's what I'll do is I'll fork over my manhood.
Well, you already said you'd do it for stat points. You'd have to do it for money, right?
You don't want to know what I would do for money.
There you go, folks.
So instead of sitting here and enjoying this particular conversation, we have to hurry up and get out of here because I have a full day ahead of me. Hopefully in the future, we do get the podcasts out regularly. But like we said at the top of the show, if not, don't worry. It's not because of the sky. Blame me. Just do that and blame all the different factors that are going on in my life right now. And hopefully everything gets normal about, I don't know, March of next year.
Remember, people, he has to battle scorpions where he's at, so, I mean, big, give him a friggin' break, so.
Big, giant, radioactive scorpions.
Think of Fallout 3 scorpions.
Exactly.
I mean, they're all outside, man. Just,
that's what I do. I live in Fallout. So, until what is hopefully next week, goodbye.
Bye-bye.